We are Christians because of what Jesus, our Lord, did. Paul said, I am who I am by His grace. I thank God for this day. We celebrate the goodness of God. Your life is never again going to be the same. Do you receive that? Because today you are rising with Him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. At this time, Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of prayer. Brother Ovier, that was powerful, powerful medleys. Thank you, worship team. Amen. We normally don't put our praise and worship online, but we're going to compile all of the praise and worship today and just put it in its own segment so we can continue to enjoy it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, it's that time to pray for our children, so come up quickly. Time is moving. Praise the Lord. Greg, God day, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Somebody say He's risen. Say He's risen indeed. Well, He's risen for every one of us. We give Him praise. Hallelujah. Because He live, we shall also live also. Let's pray. If you have a need at this time, you can come forward for prayer. We give you praise. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day. We thank you, God, for your resurrected life that's in our lives, in our families. We thank you for all our family members. We commit all our biological children and their spouses and their seeds, and all our spiritual children and all our partners, extended families, every child of God, those standing in the altar and those hearing the sound of my voice from any part of the world. Father, minister grace to everyone. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those walking the earth, those in the womb, minister grace to every single one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. May they serve you and know you all the days of their life. May they know Jesus died for them and He rose for them. May they walk with you and continue to give you glory and honor. May they be honorable children, children who bring glory to you, O God. Father, we commit our week, our day, our month, and our years before you. Every day will be an encounter with the living God, magnifying you and hearing your voice and obeying your voice. Give them success at their school, at their workplaces, in college, in their career, in church, in ministry, in businesses, in everything they put their hand to do. Bless the work of their hands in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the wonderful worship that was given to you today. May it not be wasted, but may it be accepted by you, Almighty God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for all our Sunday school teachers, for ministering to the children and for putting effort and hard work for the children to come to this level where they have been. May we continue to grow them from glory to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, commit every department in this church before you, that they will also grow from glory to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your mighty works. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, children, bless you. See you later. Let us continue. We're still in prayer, so I really appreciate you not having conversation when I'm praying, please. If the little people are doing it, fine, but not the adults. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, for your Spirit that is within us. We ask for the Spirit of the living God to dwell within us, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. Move upon our heart, upon the service, upon our homes, our city, our nation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, we're going to read quickly this morning. Turn your Bible to the book of John chapter 20, where the different gospels have the encounter of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But since today is the Resurrection Sunday, we'll read about what happened on that particular day. John had a longer version of it, so we'll read from the book of John. John chapter 20, I think there are 31 verses, so you're going to have to catch up. You can read along or just make sure you read this again at your own time at home for your family. Let's read, starting from verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Somebody say linen clothes. Well, priests were asked to wear linen clothes and not clothes made out of wool. So Jesus is still the high priest. Hallelujah. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, help me to know you. You know, everything that is playing out here, he told them. The disciples, John and Peter, they did not know that he's going to be risen, but he told them he's going to be risen. Yes, Mary, who has been feeding Jesus, been around, still did not recognize Jesus. May the Lord open our eyes so that we can recognize him when he shows up in our lives. Somebody say, Lord, help me. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. May the Lord call you, and may you hear his voice, and may you recognize him in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. On the resurrection morning, we were all promoted to the God class. May you remain in that God class. Jesus says, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So you have a Father. You have a Heavenly Father. You have a biological Father, but you have a Heavenly Father. May he truly be your Father. Say amen. Say amen. When I was growing up, every need we had, our dad provided. He was just a human. So every need you have, will Almighty God not provide? He's your Heavenly Father. You have a Father who is not poor, who is not sick, who is not weak, who is great in everything and excellent in everything, has the answer for everything. Somebody say, my Father and my God. My Father and my God. I don't know if you believe what you're saying. If you believe it, say it like you mean it. Say, my Father and my God. Even when you cannot even pray anything, just call him, my Father and my God. He will give you that solution to that hard riddle. May you have the answer that you need for you and your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, say, I receive him as my Father and my God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Somebody say, I receive the peace that Jesus gives. He is called the Prince of Peace. Somebody say, I receive the peace. 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Somebody say, I receive the peace that Jesus gives to me. Say amen. 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I receive the Holy Ghost. 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the twelve called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Somebody say, I receive the peace Jesus gives to me. Say amen. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Are there those type of believers here this morning? Somebody say, I'm blessed. Say, if you believe in Jesus, you are blessed. So somebody say, I am blessed. Somebody say, I believe in Jesus, and I am blessed. Say amen. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Life, as we believe, we have life through his name. Can you call his name again? So each time you call his name, you have life. Somebody call his name again. Do you want to increase in life or decrease in life? If you want to increase in life, continue to call his name. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Our elder brother. Our joint heir. We are joint heirs with him. He's our living hope. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our strength. He's our sun and our shield. He's our buckler. He's our only Savior. Nothing else can save us except him. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for redeeming us. And thank you for dying for us. And thank you for rising again. Not only did you die for our sins, you died for even those who were dead, that have no way of partaking in the things of God. You went to the grave and you set the captives free. Thank you, Lord. If you like to stand, you stand. If you don't want to, that's between you. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. You didn't have to die for us, but you chose. You made an executive decision that this is what you want to do because you love us. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, O God, for giving us your only begotten Son. You didn't have to, but you chose to. Thank you for showing us the way of love, showing us your agape love, showing us that you are able to do beyond what we can think or imagine. You brought us all out of darkness into your marvelous light. Not only staying in the light, you prepared a table for us to feast in your presence and our enemies to watch us rise. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. Bible says if the enemy had known, he wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. He didn't know that God was bringing many sons to glory. We thank you, O God, for one son, you took the whole world back to yourself. We thank you for your living sacrifice. Forever you have a scar in your hand, in your feet, and on your side to take all our scars away. We thank you, Almighty God, that all scars, all wound, all pain, all sorrow, all disease, all sickness, all shame, all lack, all poverty, you took it all away from us, that we may have your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We receive what you paid for. You were trampled so that we would not be trampled. We receive you, and we receive the gift of life. We call that name Jesus. Can you call him again? Jesus. 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 Son of David, continue to have mercy on us and our entire household. Have mercy on our church, our city, and our nation. Continue to forgive us all our sins. And may we continue to forgive others the sin they've sinned against us. The power to forgive sin you have given to us. You said those who remit their sin, they are remitted. Those who retain their sin, they are retained. We release those who have hurt us. We do not hold their sin. We release them so that our sin will also be released. In the mighty name of Jesus, can you take a moment now and forgive those who have hurt you? Speak from your mouth and say, I choose to forgive. And I release those who have hurt me. And I receive forgiveness for my sin. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you're still sitting, you have rested enough, so rise and let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, he could have come. When Jesus came, he could have been born here in Winnipeg. He could have been born in North America. He could have been born in Africa. He could have been born in Asia. He could have been born in South America. He could have been born in Australia. But that's not where God chose. He chose Israel. And he chose Jerusalem for him to die for us. And when he rose again. Lord, may we remember the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
We speak peace over the city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Peace within her walls and her palaces.
Yes,
peace to the nation of Israel.
Yes,
peace to the neighborhood.
Yes.
Peace to your people, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Save your people, Lord.
Yes,
your word say all Israel shall be saved.
Yes,
Israel, your glory. Mm-hmm. Israel, the apple of your eye.
Yes, Lord.
Israel, carved in the palm of your hand.
Yes, Lord.
Israel, your firstborn.
Yes.
These are the things you have said about Israel. We might not understand all the things that are going on there, but we know this is your feeling.
Mm.
So, Lord, we respect and we honor your feeling.
Yes.
Save all Israel. Your
yes.
word says, all Israel shall be saved.
Yes.
Save all Israel.
Amen.
As you save them, as you remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, remember us also. Remember your promises. You said, out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. Canada is part of all nations. America is part of all nations. Nigeria is part of all nations. Yugoslavia is part of all nations. Germany is part of all nations. Australia is part of all nations. Save your people, Lord. Save the islands of the seas. Save your people, Lord. Wherever someone is calling upon the name of Jesus, remember your people and save them, Lord. May the resurrected life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, flow to all nations. As people are celebrating all over the world, earlier today they celebrated in Jerusalem, and many nations have already been celebrating, and some are sleeping now. Lord, minister grace to us all. May we reflect and be thankful for what you have done for us. We are no longer alienated from you. We are part of your family forever. A day is coming, you're coming back for every one of us, and we shall forever live with you. May none of us be left behind, but may all of us be in your presence forevermore. Be in the service this morning. Bless your people, Lord. Touch every man, every woman, every family. Heal, restore, and make everyone whole that is sick. Strengthen us. Continue to give us the zeal of the Lord. Let it consume our lives. May we continue to remember who you are and continue to give you glory. Be in the service, be with the word, be in the word, and be in our lives. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, blessings, solutions, answers, and testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Everything. Why do I need to tell him what he already knows? so he can answer. So the reason for prayer might not necessarily then be about me giving God information. Maybe prayer is about me getting information. And if that's the case, if it's about me getting information about what the will of God is, because it is the will of God that must be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. God has a will in heaven. There's something God is already doing in heaven and that I'm not privy to, but I need to get that information. Because the word of God tells us that God will do nothing in the earth except that he reveals his secrets first of all to his servants, the prophets who then will prophesy. So let us clearly establish that prayer is not about me giving God information. It's about me getting information from God. Let's be reminded of that. It will help us to yap less and listen more. Resurrection Sunday. This day represents the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And that is good information to know. But what does that have to do with me? Because everything Jesus came, our Lord came to do, he came to do not for himself, but for us. He didn't come to die for his sins because he had no sins. He came to die for my sins. When he rose again from the dead, he rose again not just for himself, but for us. The Bible says that when we died with him and we rose again with him, it says we also ascended. Somebody say ascended. We ascended with him. And then it says we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, and all spiritual wickedness. Wow. But how many of us tap into all of those benefits? Because there are still people who are saying, look what the devil has done. There are still people who are scared witless about witches and wizards and the Obia man, the witch doctor, the shaman. What a waste of time. When the Bible says that we rose with him, we are seated with him, far above all. Someone say all. All principalities, all powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world. If there are rulers of the dark world, he says we are far above them. There's no close proximity. But everything is to us according to our faith. According to what you believe. If you believe that you're in close proximity with the devil, then, of course, then he has the power over your life. Then he has power over your circumstance. But if you know that God is a God who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus and not according to the economy of this world, which the devil still has control over, then your finances are not based on what is happening with the economy, whether it's the Conservative Party, or the Liberal, or the NDP, or the Green Party, or whatever party, Republican, Democrats, whoever. Your life is not fashioned after their image. Praise the Lord. It has nothing to do with them, because you are a kingdom person and you are an ambassador of God, a representative of God. And as an ambassador, you are furnished and provided for by the home government. Hello? Come on. The home government provides for you, supplies all of your needs. And if you want food from home, it can be dispatched. Praise the Lord. You're looking at me funny. Let me help you a little bit. This might just help you. An ambassador is protected by his home government. Yes? But guess who else? By the government of the nation that he is living in. Uh-oh. So, the ambassador of the United States, even as much as we are very upset with the United States very right now because of the 51st state idea. That ambassador has to be protected by whom? The Canadian government. If you understand, you know what that means? I am protected not only by heaven, but by the devil. He has to protect me, because if he touches me, it is war. Do you get the point? So don't live in fear. The stronghold of fear is destroyed. Bro Vim sang, leading us in the singing, led in the song, I'm a child of God. Oh, I'm a friend of God. I don't have fear no more. The chains of fear are what? Destroyed. No fear. Hallelujah. You know, the first thing that the disciples experienced until they were very aware, absolutely aware, that Jesus is risen from the dead was that they were hiding behind walls, afraid. But when they knew that Jesus was now risen from the dead, something began to change. Until the day of Pentecost, where they stood strong. The men that were busy running away, afraid of people, what man will do to them, were no longer afraid, because they now knew there's a higher power, greater than every other power, and that power was resting inside of them. Do you know the power of God? Do you know that you're loved of God? Do you know that God is with you and for you? And if you do know that, then what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You see, people that make it in life are people that shun fear. And they're willing to take risk. But the thing about the believer's risk is that it is padded with success. So there is no risk. Because you know the end result. You know that if you believe him, he is with you. And if God be with you and for you, who can be against you? Praise the Lord. That's why we answer to the higher power. That's why when people said, the government said, close down your church because there's something called COVID. We said, COVID what? We're not closing down. Oh, but what? We are following the dictates of a higher force, a higher power, a higher person. And that's what you and I need to do in every area of our lives. Satan, you are not going to dictate my existence. I know who I am because of who he is in my life. That does not mean living recklessly. No, we are following the dictates and the directives of the Lord. We are saying yes to God and no to the devil. Are we together? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 10, I want to start from there because that's where I'm hooked up right now. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. What does it say to us? It says, this is Paul writing, it says, but by the grace of God, but by the grace, the enabling presence and power of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. The grace of God that God has bestowed upon you and I because of his resurrection, that grace must not be in vain. It must not be wasted. I said the grace of God on your life must not be wasted. You are not an invalid. You are a child of God. And the power and the capacity that God has bestowed upon us must not be in vain. If God says to us, I have anointed you to destroy the yokes of the enemy, to bring people from captivity into the day life of God, then that's what we must do. Not sheltering behind walls, afraid of the world. Listen. If you and I know how powerful we are, if we know how powerful we are, we will not take any mess from anybody. So you're working somewhere and some bus thinks it can push you around. It's like they say in Nigeria, who born monkey? You gonna push me around this way and that way? You think you've got authority over me? I am first of all under the authority of the Most High God. And this job here, I got it because God has blessed me and put me here. You'll be fired before I get fired. You got to understand that. Judas may betray Jesus, but Judas is going to die before Jesus dies. It is how you believe that determines how you live your life. In the marketplace, and any place else. Because the power of God, the resurrection power of God, has given you the grace and the ability to be above all. The Bible says that which is born from above is above all. Do you have an above all mentality? Or do you see yourself like the Israelites saw themselves like grasshoppers, and therefore the people in the land saw them the same way? The way you see yourself is how the world is going to see you. Let me say that again. The way you see yourself is how the world will see you. Let me say it the third time. The way you see yourself is how the world is going to see you. If you see yourself as a representative of God, then you must understand that you've got angels with you. You say, Pastor, is this not Easter Sunday? What are you talking about? I'm talking about what Easter came to do. That's what I'm talking about. The benefits of Easter. The benefits of the resurrection. Last Friday and yesterday, I told a story of a man that was traveling in the early 1900s. He was traveling from Africa to the UK, to London. He was immigrating there, but primarily because he was going to get an education there. And he bought his ticket. He gathered everything that he had. He bought his ticket. And he got on the ship. And he quietly went and stayed in his pad, his cubicle, his room. All through that journey, he didn't come out. The captain saw him going in, but never saw him. At the end, there comes the man, all weak. The captain says to him, he says, where were you? I didn't see you at the dining hall, you know, eating with everybody. He said, no, I couldn't come out because I didn't have money. All the money I had was to buy my ticket so I can get over to where I need to go. And the man says, you mean you were in there because you didn't have money to pay for food? He said, yes. He said, didn't you know that when you bought your ticket, that also included all the food? You could have eaten everything. That's a good time to just drop dead. just fall out. You mean I could have been chowing down on all the good food and I was busy smelling and inhaling the fragrance of the food and getting more hungry? But I could have eaten? Yes, you could have eaten. And that's where a lot of believers are. They could have tapped into all the resources that God has for them, but they are going hungry because they think all Jesus came to do was for them to just go to heaven. No, God wants you to reign with him right now. Hallelujah. He has grace sufficient for you now to do anything, whatever you lay your hands to do. He says, I'll bless it. But we spend our time struggling about all kinds of stuff. Yes, there are challenges in this world, but God has a place for me. God has a place for you. And if you are not seemingly getting to the place where you think God has for you, then this is important to know. Stop. Stop the praying and just say to God, I need clear instructions on what I need to do. I need your help. I need your help. I am tired of shaking every door and not finding what I need. So tell me which way I'm supposed to go, because I don't know. And the life of God will flow into you like never before and bring about a revelation. Now, let me say this. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 15 in a moment, but let me say this. In John 20 and verse 16, Mary had looked inside the tomb, and now she's concerned that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. She's concerned. She thinks that the person that she was now facing was a gardener. Because resurrection life changes you. Amen? There is a spiritual body which is not exactly like your physical body. Let me say that again. There is a spiritual body which is not like your physical body. It is different because it does not have blood in it. It has the true essence of who you really are. Huh? You don't look exactly the way you look now in the realm of the spirit, because light is flowing in and through you. That's a little bit too heavy. Anyhow, she turns herself, because the Bible says, Jesus says unto her, Mary. Jesus said what? Mary. She turned herself and says unto him, what? Rabboni. She saw him. She did not recognize him. She recognized him by his voice, by his word. This is the only way to truly recognize God, by his voice, by his word. If you don't have communion with the word of God, forget it. You are looking at whatever it is that you are looking at. You will not recognize God outside of his word. Because deep calls unto deep. And the depth of God is in his word. That is his true essence. And therefore, you must make friendship with the word of God. If you are going to recognize God in any area of your life, it's not going to be found in the encyclopedia. It is not going to be found on Facebook. Because there are lots of liars on Facebook. Even this morning, I was looking at something, and somebody made a very remarkable statement. I said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So I went to research it, that statement. Found out it was a big, fat lie. As good as it was, I could have repeated it because it was so good. But it was a lie. People lie. The word of God does not lie. So go to the word of God. Hello. The Bible says in the book of Luke that Jesus, please don't lose me here. I'm tracking something, and I need you to track with me. In Luke chapter 24, beginning to read from verse 13, the Bible tells us about these two guys who were heading towards a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Oh, that's some distance. Okay, they're heading in that direction, and here comes Jesus. 14, come with me real quickly. He says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, talking about the resurrection. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So now there's three of them. It says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I want you to take note of that, because in just a moment, I'm going to release to you a very powerful secret from the Word of God. It says their eyes were holden, their eyes were blind, so to speak, that they should not know him. They could see, but they could not see. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you just a stranger? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Isn't it amazing? Jesus knows all the answers and is acting like he doesn't know. But do you know that that is the character of God? Sometimes he just acts like he doesn't know. Like he says, Adam, where art thou? Oh, like he doesn't know. He doesn't know. You know, and many times we are fooled to believe in that God doesn't know because we can't see him. And because we can't see him, he can't see us. Lying devils. It says, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, which was. And that's the problem. Sometimes we think he was. No, he is. Which was a prophet, might indeed and word before God and all the people. He still is. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We were believing that he was going to be the one. That's the guy. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. 25. Watch this. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is really hard. And he says, oh, fools. He's calling these two guys. You guys are fools. Hey, why are you calling them fools? Because it's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. Do you know that you not believing what the prophet said is making you believe that there is no God? Because it's God that speaks through his prophets. So when the prophet speaks, God is speaking. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So all the details about his death, his life, his death, and his resurrection was all there in scriptures. In plain view. And they did not believe it. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. That's another thing about Jesus. He did it when the disciples were in the storm and he's walking on the water and he kept on going. But really, when God is acting like he's going and not minding you, he wants you to call out to him, "I need you." Hello? That's why he does it. He's walking away, but he really doesn't really, really doesn't really want to walk away. He wants you to say, "Please, come back. I need you." Are you feeling in your life right this very moment that God is not there? He is there. Just call on him. He says, they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Watch this, watch this. They say, "It's getting late. You can't be going anywhere. Stay here with us." And so he did. And now I really want you to listen. Hone in now, because I'm going to release to you something very, very important. It might look like it is nothing, and you might miss it, but I pray that you don't miss it. Because from this day, you will use this powerful key to experience God's direction. He said, "And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." And verse 31 now says, "And their what? Eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." So what was the key? Oh, the key is what we're going to do later on today. They recognized him when he broke bread with them. When it seems like you can't see him, two things: his word and communion. Did you hear what I said? When you are striking out, but you need a home run to stay in the game, to win the game, get his word, get communion. What did I say? Say it like you really know what I said. This is a powerful key. He says, do this in what? Remembrance of me. So you recognize me. So you remember me. So you know who I am. That I am God, sovereign, capable of addressing every issue in your life, no matter what it is. I don't care how low you've gotten. Listen. Grab that word of God. Find something in that word of God about your life. Remember that he died for you. Take communion. And all of a sudden, he will reveal himself. But the striking part is the last part. It says he vanished out of their sight. Just as quickly as he was revealed to them, he vanished. What on earth is that? Why did he vanish? He vanished because he was saying to them, "I am everywhere. I don't know if you heard what I said. He vanished because he was stating to them, I am everywhere. You don't need to see me physically anymore. Just know that I'm here. And the Bible says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Everything that he needed to do, he had done already. And that was to reveal to them, listen, I came to accomplish a purpose. I came to deal with the issue of sin. I came to make sure that you receive the God life. So now that you see me, that I'm risen, now that you see me because I have broken bread with you, come to a place of communion. What does communion mean? Communion means to come into union. Now that we are in union together, hey, I'm everywhere. I'm in you. I'm in him. I'm in her. I'm in all of you. Now, be empowered. Let my word burn deep within you. The prophet said, his word is like fire in my bones. God is doing something extraordinary in our lives. This is what the gospel is. So let me wrap with this. First Corinthians 15. Rapid fire, let's go. First Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4, tells us what the gospel is. First Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That's the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. You've received it. And wherein ye stand. You stand on this gospel. By which also ye are saved. You are saved by this gospel. If ye keep in what? Memory. Oh, so you've got to keep it in your memory. What I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And then talked about how he appeared to Cephas or Peter and then to 500 and finally how he appeared to him, Paul, as one who was born in due time. Now, verse 12 tells us that Christ rose. It says, for now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, he's going to tell us why this is important for us to know. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So what is the point? Christ is risen, therefore you're going to rise. You are going to rise. And when it's talking about dead, the dead here, it's not just talking about you and I. Well, I was going to say kick in the bucket, but I'm not going to say it. But I said it. He's addressing every area of death in your life and in my life. He's saying, listen, because Christ rose again, you are going to rise too. I remember, it's got to be 1976. I was house sitting for a neighbor of ours. And I was sleeping. And I woke up. But when I woke up, I heard me saying something. And what I was saying out of my mouth was, because he lives, I live also. I said, it didn't come from my natural mind. It came from my spirit. Because he lives, I live also. Because he's risen, I rise also. I am risen. And I say to you today, no matter what your challenge is, you will rise. Amen? You will what? Rise. Nothing is going to keep you down. Say it with me. Nothing is going to oppress me. Nothing is going to keep me down. I rise. I rise. I rise. And I will shine to the glory of God. Amen? It says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Do you have vain faith? No. Then you must believe that he's risen. He says, and if this is not the case, he says, then we are liars. We are witnesses of God. And we're saying that he raised up Christ, whom he had not raised up. If so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not risen. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now, understand that these guys, all of his disciples, most of them died. They died. Some were crucified. Some were shot with arrows. Some were beheaded. And not one of them, not one, who had seen him raised from the dead, denied the fact that he was raised from the dead. They all kept on saying the same thing. He rose again from the dead. Deny it. Can't deny what we know. Christianity will not be here. Because, listen, they were not saying this, that Jesus rose again from the dead 500 years after. Right at the time when they were experiencing all the persecution, they were saying boldly, he rose again from the dead. If or not, just read the scriptures, you find all the reasons why these guys cannot be relied on. Even Peter was saying, I don't know the guy. I swear, I don't know him. And he's risen from the dead. And Peter says, he rose from the dead. The guy rose. I saw him. Huh? You and I will only be fools if we do not believe the report. We believe that there is a Caesar. You know, there's some people who actually believe that Jesus was a fictitious, a myth. And there's 5,000 plus writings, religious and secular writings, about the existence of Jesus of Nazareth. who died. We have maybe about 40 or 50 writings about a Caesar. Julius Caesar, only about 50. And everybody believes that there's Julius Caesar. There's 5,000 plus writings about Jesus. Oh no, he's a myth. Myth you. The foolishness of man. Because believing in Jesus means change. It demands change. And change we must. Amen? Well, it's a joy sharing the word of God with you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, we are going to wrap the special meetings. And I feel quickened in my spirit to ask us to do something. I want to ask you to bring a bottle of oil with you tonight. Olive oil for your family. I'm going to anoint you from your bottle of oil. I'm going to release the word of God in a prophetic declaration over that which you bring. And those of you at home, get yours while you're listening. When we're ministering to people here, you will do the same thing at your home. God will reach you right there. And we're going to share in communion together, because I do believe that this revelation of who Jesus is like never before. You know, those two men on the road of Emmaus, they may have heard more about Jesus than even the disciples heard. Because the Bible says he opened to them all the way from Moses and through the prophets. I don't know if Jesus spent that kind of time. Maybe it was not written, but we don't see anything in the Synoptic Gospels or in the Gospel of John about any of that. I believe God is going to bring us into a higher level of revelation, because his glory is going to be accelerated. God is going to use us in this last of the last days to do extraordinary things. Do you receive that? So I look forward to seeing you tonight for that very special time together. And go ahead, get a bottle of oil, come with it. Why do you need to come with oil, olive oil? Because it represents the crushing of the Lord. The fact that he went through his Gethsemane so that we don't have to go through it. The fact that out of him oozes out this anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. I'm believing God for a burden-removing anointing to flow in us and through us. Amen? Praise the Lord.